Well, happy Mother's Day to all the ladies. Regardless of whether you have offspring or not, you are a woman and you are honored and respected. And I have learned over the years that whether a woman has children or not, she still knows how to mother, especially if she's married to a husband. Or to a man, because us guys tend to be, we act like kids, don't we? You know, like the old saying is that the boys become men and their toys just get bigger, that's all. So, bigger and more expensive. But I just want to wish a happy Mother's Day to everyone that's here, to the ladies in our midst. We are truly blessed and honored, and we appreciate all of you. And those of you that forgot that this weekend, you men, was Mother's Day, you better get your act together. I was at the grocery store getting my act together yesterday. And I don't know what was going on, because normally, you know, most of the cards are gone if you wait till, you know, till the last minute. So I didn't really expect to find a whole lot, but I guess all the guys were doing what I was doing. It was sort of a last-minute procrastination thing. It was just packed. And I couldn't even get near the cards. I'd look over, you know. And they were ornery, too. You try to excuse me. No way, man. I'm getting these cards. So it was like, okay, so I just waited. I just kind of had to wait till there was room for me to get anywhere near the Mother's Day cards. And I did find some nice cards. So I'm okay. I'm doing fine. So far. Weekend's not over yet. You know, when we think about male, female, men, women, it takes us back to the very beginning of time. I appreciate the passage of Scripture that Martita read this morning, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Genesis. And it's interesting, because I've mentioned this maybe before, that if you read Genesis chapter 1 and then you read Genesis chapter 2, you will actually discover there are two creation scenarios going on there. It's interesting. And Jewish people have a tradition about why that is. I won't go into all the depth of that or the reasons, but you have chapter 1, you have God creating the heavens and the earth and all the animals and everything, the creep and crawl and all that stuff. And then in chapter 1, verse 26... Then God said, "Let us make man in our image." By the way, I want you to take note that God is not just talking to himself here. It almost sounds like, "Then God said to himself." No, "Then God said, let us." So you see the plural there? There's not just one, there's more than one. So God says, "Let us make man in our image." And all of us guys go, "Oh yeah, man, Steve, we're made in God's image, you know." Yeah, so we're the ones. You girls, you aren't made in his image. Unfortunately, or however you look at it, fortunately, verse 27 says, "Then God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him." What? Just males? Males and females. You're looking at that and saying, "Well, maybe that's a mistake in a translation somewhere. Maybe the female really doesn't belong there. Maybe it's just man." Because up to that point, it's always man, 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 but no female. Suddenly here we have females introduced into the discussion. He created them. Now, it goes on to say, down at the bottom there, verse 31, it says, "God saw that he had made, and it was very good, and that was evening and morning of the sixth day." Okay, now we go into chapter 2, all right? And if you go with me to chapter 2, and you go to beginning with verse 21. So the Lord God, actually I want to start before that. Verse 20, so the man gave names to all the livestock and the birds of the air and all the beasts of the field. And for Adam, no suitable, ladies, mark that in red, suitable. The word suitable is a key word for all of you ladies, all right? No suitable partner. I lost my place here. Where was I? I'm looking at, okay, but no suitable helper was found. Verse 21. So the Lord caused the man to fall asleep into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, by the way, guys, make sure that when you fall asleep, we won't go there. He took one of the man's ribs, all right, and he closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman, there it is again, made a woman from the rib that he had taken out of man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Now, as I read this scenario, the second scenario here in chapter 2, I discovered some very interesting things. First of all, God created this beautiful world. And when he looked around after creation, he said, wow, it's really great. It's perfect. It is good, he said over and over again. It is good. It is good. When God says it's good, he means it's perfect. But then he notices that when it comes to man, it ain't so good. Sorry, guys. Something's wrong. This guy's wandering around looking for his keys. He needs a helper. He needs somebody that can tell him where he left his cell phone or where he left his keys in the morning before he goes to work. And so God created then, you guys that are young couples, it eventually gets to that point. And you know it's really getting bad when you have to look for your wife's keys. And you can't find either of the keys. But note that God said it is not perfect yet. It isn't whole. Adam is not whole. He's only, I won't use the words, he's half there. Okay? No comments about the mental capacities of males. Just simply, he wasn't whole. And so what does he do? He creates from the rib of man. Once again, when you go to sleep at night, make sure everything is tied down. If you have to, hide it under your pillow or whatever you have to do. But he creates woman from the rib of man, not from the heel bone or from the head bone, but from the rib, symbolic of that woman is created to be beside man, to be a helpmate to man, to complete the image of God. So up to the time of the creation of woman, after the creation of man, man's image was not complete. Sorry, guys, you're not complete, all right? God had to create the other element, the other half of his image. He only had a half an image. Kind of reminds me when you go to these beautiful museums and you see sculptures, and some of the sculptures, I haven't been over to Italy or to the Middle East or anywhere where they have sculptures that are half carved. You seen them? You know, they're not completed. The sculpture either died or he abandoned the piece of art or whatever. So you have this big old chunk of marble here, and you've got a body kind of coming out of that, but it's not complete. Maybe it has an arm missing or a leg that hasn't been sculptured yet, and you've got part of that sculpture. When God created man, he realized that he'd only done half. Half. How do I know that? Because in the Hebrew, the concept is wholeness. Okay? We say half, we say partial. God deals in the concept of wholeness, the total package. So when he created woman. And what does it say? For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother boy, in Yucaipa, they must not read their Bibles because there are an awful lot of kids that are 40 and 50 years old living at home still. But anyways, his father and mother and be united, connected to his wife, and they will become what? Oh, there we go now. There's your wholeness concept. Just as God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost are one. You have the same concept. And God wanted to make sure that Adam had a helpmate. Now, some of you are thinking, well, okay, that's good. Babe, you're my helpmate. Go out and till the garden and make sure you mow the lawn too. And oh, my car needs oil change too. You're my helper. I don't think God had that in mind when he said that. I don't think he had in mind that our wives are to be slaves or to be, you know, working, sweating, you know, for us. I believe that when God said that he gave Adam a helpmate, he meant to make him complete, to make him whole. And in order for them to continue their, to procreate, to continue on their species, Adam couldn't do it by himself, could he? Eve can't do it by herself, can she? Takes the two. You see, part of God being God is the fact that he can create. He created the worlds. He created the universe, which, by the way, they are finding out is still expanding. So you think God stopped creating when he was done with our world? Do you think Michelangelo or Van Gogh or any of those guys only did one piece of art? No. A person who is artistic, a person who is creative, can't stop. They just keep painting and painting. My father, who passed away at 90 years old, one of his last pieces of art, he was always a good artist, but then in his retirement, he went and took art classes at Berkeley and different places and got really good in watercolors. He was painting watercolors up to within a few months of his passing away. Because his mind is constantly going, constantly creating. So we as human beings are not creators, we are procreators. Do you see the difference? God creates by the word of his mouth. We create, we procreate, we continue the species through procreation. Which really has a little bit to do with being very creative. In fact, if you know, I remember when my wife and I decided after we'd been married about 4 years, we said, well, it's time, you know, maybe we should start making little Munsons, you know. And I remember we always talked about, what do you think our kids are going to look like? You know, oh, they're going to be good looking, you know, they're going to look like their mom, you know. They're going to be, you know, we had all these ideas of what our kids were going to be like, what kind of personalities they were going to have, what color of hair, what color of eyes. Knowing all along that really it was like a flip of a coin. You had no idea what you were going to get. Today, they try to help you a little bit, you know, but it's still a flip of a coin. You have no idea what kind of a personality your kid's going to have. You don't know what color of hair or eyes or whatever. You know, it's pretty much up to, the whole procreation process of genetic combining of genes from two families. And so when our first one was born, the first thing we do is we look to see, who does he look like? Now, those of you that have had babies and have seen little babies, quite frankly, little babies don't look like anything but little babies. In fact, some of them, bless their hearts, are scary. I had one of those scary ones. Don't ever tell him that. But he's very handsome. But, you know, we love them, and we're just drawn to them. We want to protect them immediately. We want to just kiss their little faces all the time. We want to just hug them. We want to coo to them. We want to do all the things that we do to little babies because they're just so precious. And we know that they are bone of our bones and flesh of our flesh. Isn't that right? They're a combination of man and woman. And I don't believe science is ever, ever, ever going to be able to produce from a man and a man and a woman and a woman without the help of, okay, the sperm banks. That ain't going to happen, all right? Just ain't going to happen. So, Adam and Eve became whole The two became one, just as the three became one. You get the combination there? God wanted us to understand the concept of oneness. He wanted us to understand how the God family related to each other. That's what families are all about. And when that dynamic gets messed up and it gets broken up, it really does a thing on our minds. It really does. It messes up our minds. Because we were created by God. We were hardwired by God to understand that a man and a woman has a baby. That's the way it works. There's no other way for that to work. And not only that, that man and that woman, the purpose of their life is to raise up that child, okay, to be part of the oneness. Right? Because it's now 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. Or however many children you have. Okay? Some people, they like to have those babies. They're great creators or procreators. And so they have more than one. But it's still one. It doesn't matter if it's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It's still one. It's the family. It is the image of God that you have the privilege and opportunity to help create. Okay? Well, let's not labor that one too much. What I want to talk about is the feminine aspect of God. Some of you are saying, okay, Pastor, now I'm going to plug my ears. I don't want to hear this. Well, let me clue you that even God Himself and even the Bible talks about God having a feminine aspect. Let's take a look at it. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 66:13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Okay? And you can look these up, but I'm going to go through them quickly because we lack time here. Isaiah 49:15-16. Can a woman forget her baby and not love the child she bore? Even if a mother should forget her child, I will never forget you. Jerusalem, Point Loma, I can never forget you. I have written your name on the palm of my hand. As a mother cannot forget her child, God, in His feminine characteristic aspect, cannot forget you. Those of you that are mothers and those of you that are females, you can relate to that, can't you? Another one, Luke 13:34. We're getting into the New Testament now. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen, not a rooster, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Do you understand that this cannot be translated in the masculine? It has to be translated in the feminine. A hen is a hen. A rooster is a rooster. The hen is the one that protects her little baby chicks. Have you ever watched them? One of the things that you know, if you're ever in a farm, you like to try to catch one of those little baby chicks. They're so cute. Little tiny balls of fluff, you know. So you go running after them, you know. And the mother, depending on how old the chicks are, you are in serious trouble. The mother will defend those baby chicks. She will fly at you. She will throw herself at you. She will do anything to keep her baby chicks safe. Okay? If you haven't ever done it, next time you go to a farm, you try it. I dare you. In fact, better yet, why don't you try grabbing an ostrich? Let's make it worthwhile, okay? Next time you see an ostrich farm, get out, go over the fence, you have the pastor's permission, and chase a baby ostrich. I dare you. I dare you. Because the mother ostrich will kick your boot out, literally, because she is defending her chicks. If you've ever seen a mother defending her baby, whether it's animal or human, let me tell you, you do not want to get in the way of a mother defending her children. Do not do that. She will go at you with everything she has. She might even kill you. It's just a warning to let you know, okay? Mothers will defend their babies. So will God. God will defend His children. You are God's children. He will defend you. He will protect you. Oh, I got to throw this in. I was going to save it for potluck time. This morning, coming over 60. That's why I was late today by over an hour. Coming over Highway 60, if you know it, it's windy, it's narrow. It has, you know, cliffs on both sides. And I'm driving along, and there's this big semi-truck, about half a mile ahead. And all of a sudden, this truck decides to pass in the fast lane, the truck in the slow lane. But he doesn't realize the cars behind him are going probably 60 or so. And he's pulling out at about 28 or 30 miles an hour, because I was watching him. All of a sudden, there's this chain reaction. There are red lights just coming on, and I'm slamming on my brakes. I'm anticipating this. Well, I didn't realize how these people were panic braking. Fortunately, I'm driving my retirement car right now, and it has really good brakes. And so I was able to lock it up and not hit the car in front of me. But I knew from experience that the cars behind me may not have the same braking power that I have. So I immediately looked in the mirror, and I heard this crunch. A loud crunch. It was more than a crunch. It was an explosion. And then before I could do anything, a car, a little Toyota Corolla, a blue Toyota Corolla, was up on the cement. Now, on that freeway, there is no shoulder. When you drive along that freeway, the center divider, you could reach out and touch it like that. Okay? And my usual reaction is when there's a braking and people behind me are screeching, I will pull into the shoulder and let them go by me, especially if they're burning rubber behind me. So my first reaction was, get over so the car behind you can miss you, so you won't get rear-ended. Well, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them. The angel of the Lord said, no, don't go to the left. Just brake hard. And I broke, I put on the brakes as hard as I could. And this blue Corolla went past me, up on its side, on the cement. And it tagged me as it went by. It missed the car in front of me, but then it hit a van. It came back down, hit a van, and the van went across the freeway and down a 150-foot bank. Then it kept on going and hit the back end of a big four-wheel drive pickup and just buried itself underneath this pickup. So when I read the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them, that's why I said the angel of the Lord runs alongside the pastor's car. There was no reason for that Corolla not to bury itself into the back end of my car or go over my car, because it was airborne as it was coming along the cement. It was just screeching noise as it was sliding along the cement. It could have gone right over me. Well, my car doesn't have a top. It does not have a top. It doesn't have a roll cage. And I was thinking in my head, you need to duck, so I did. I ducked because I anticipated that it was going to come over me, and it didn't. Went right past me, tagged me, pushed in my side of my car, kept right on going. And so when God says that you are my children, I will defend, I will protect you, I believe that. I always have believed it. But this morning especially, it's too fresh in my mind, I even believe it more. The angel of the Lord campeth around about them and runs alongside of your car on the freeway. Isaiah 41 and verses 1 through 2. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. And then Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things I need the Lord. You know, as I read these passages, and the Bible is full of promises, that God promises to comfort us, I'm reminded that mothers have an incredible ability, females have an incredible ability to show compassion, to show comfort in times of distress, in times of crisis, in times of stress. Men will, whenever something happens, and I realized that this morning, when there's a crisis, when there's an accident, when there's danger, men always rise up, and the first thing I did was pull over to the side and run down the bank. Well, I didn't make it more than a part of the way down the bank, and this guy that was in this van, was literally, I've never seen a person come up a bank that steep on his all fours. He was just, it looked like, I hate to say this, like a monkey. He was running up the side of that bank. He'd gotten out of the van. And so I grabbed him. I said, man, sit down. You know, you could be injured. Sit down, sit down. So I made him sit down. And we got to be friends in a few minutes there. I even prayed with him. You know, I realized that men, when it comes to crisis or an accident, they want to know the details as far as, you know, what happened. So I kept hearing these guys saying to each other, well, what happened? Well, what happened? And I watched a lady in this group going around and saying, are you okay? You feel okay? There's your compassion. There's your comfort. The men want to figure out all the details. Who hit who? Who went over the bank? Is his car okay? Doesn't matter about him. Is the car okay? Oh, man, is your Porsche okay? My Porsche is okay. Yeah, it's got some bruises on it, but you know, the compassion comes forward because that's their quick, natural response. Men are ready to find the source of the problem. They're ready to duke it out. They're ready to, you know, to grab somebody and say, you really messed up. The women are worried about, okay, are you alive? Are you okay? And the men said that too, but I was just watching the dynamic, and even myself, I mean, the first thing I was talking about is, man, how did you keep that van on all four wheels going over the bank? I mean, that's the miracle of the whole thing, is this van gets whacked really hard, and it just goes across the road, down this bank, and stays on all fours. I'm going, and he was a Catholic young man, he had a rosary around his neck and a cross, and I said, there it is, buddy, there it is. You know, the angel of the Lord kept you upright. And then the lady that totaled her Corolla was just like an accordion. She and I prayed with her too, and just she was fine. It's just unbelievable that she was fine. I kept making her sit down until the ambulance came. And they checked her over and they said, no, she's okay. You see, there are distinct differences between how we interact and we react. As men, we are wired. As females, you are wired. God made it that way. He intended it to be that way. And we actually ought to celebrate the fact that we're different. Because I would certainly never want to marry somebody like me. Okay? That's why I intentionally married Carol Wilson. Because she had the qualities that I needed to have around me. I dated girls that were like me. Oh, my goodness, it only was one date. That's it. I knew right away, forget it. But Carol had the qualities that I was attracted to. And we became one. And then we became four. But we're still one. Do you get it? Affirming the fact that God, even though one aspect of his character is masculine and the other aspect is feminine, he is still one. Do you get it? Do you understand it? You know, I know a lot of males, you know, think the Bible is all, you know, about men because it talks more about men than it does women. And it talks about God as being him or he. Well, here's the thing that gets us messed up. First of all, the male is the more dominant, strong, physically strong aspect of God's creation. God intended it to be so. I challenge any woman here who lifts weights or wants to lift weights to put on a contest with a man of the same age who lifts weights. Chances are you will never acquire the muscular strength that man has. And if he's lifting weights too, you're never going to catch up, because we were not created to be equal in that aspect. On the other hand, I challenge males. Well, where shall I go with this? I challenge any male to try to, what do they call this? Double tasking? Multitask. I challenge you to multitask as well as the female. It's pretty hard. I've tried it. A 2-year-old on my hip here, cooking, answering the phone. Oh, he's dirty diapers, you know, and you're trying to do all this, and after a while, you're just totally exhausted, and it's like, whew, man, you know, my wife really works her tail off with these kids. I'm more than happy to let her have that aspect of our family, because men cannot double task in that way. That's only one aspect. Females also, it's well known that females have a higher threshold of pain. They are able to take more pain than men are. I challenge any man to try to even think about what it would be like to give birth to a child. And don't be around a woman when you talk about it, because if you try to compare a stubbed toe or some terrible thing that you've experienced, I will assure you that they will probably rip your ears off, pull your tongue out. They will let you know there's nothing that you have ever experienced that is anything like having children. Just accept it. But guys, I'm sorry. I've tried to argue it, and it's like, boy, did I get myself into serious trouble. Childbirth is a wonderful thing, but it's also a very painful thing. That leads me to the third aspect of feminine characteristics of God, and that is that they are willing to suffer, and they are willing to sacrifice. I dare say if a man even had a taste of what it was like to go through childbirth, he'd probably say, you know what, I'm never going to have kids. Forget that one. Not going to have kids. I have no interest in that kind of pain. For hours and hours and hours until you feel like you're out of your mind, you know. You ever watched a woman having a baby? I would have probably lost my mind within the first 20 minutes. And they can, incredible ability to put up with that pain and that suffering. But there's a reward. They know at the end of that, they have this little me, this little baby. And what's incredible to me is it doesn't take long after this horrendously painful, mind-racking, crazy childbirth, they're going, oh, when should we have the next one? And I'm going, you just went through this mind-blowing, screaming and yelling and panting, all that breathing stuff that you do. And you're thinking already about the next one? But you see, the ability, the willingness to suffer, the willingness to give of themselves, the willingness to go through hardship, toil, and pain, because at the end, there is this beautiful birth. What do you think Jesus went through? I think he went through a lot of pain. I won't compare it to childbirth, but as I read my Bible, it was pretty gruesome and pretty gross and pretty sick and pretty bad. But he did that because of you and me. He did that because he knew at the end that would be the birth of eternal life for thousands and millions of people. They would have eternal life as children of God. So he was willing to sacrifice his life. He was willing to suffer the pain. He was willing to go through the scourge. He was willing to go through all this terrible so that you and I could have eternal life. Do you get it? Do you get it? God understands what you, as mothers, as women, God understands what you go through. He understands sacrifice. He understands suffering. He understands your tendency to comfort and to nurture. Because he wired you in his image. In his image. God created both male and female. And the fact of the matter is, gentlemen, they are the better half.